Bay Area.
Turn the generation revolutionary clan. Inviting people, telling stories, finding her, making poems too. Today, I'm here with John Lanier. Hi, John.
So hello.
Could you talk a little bit about yourself?
Yes, so I'm an animation director based in London, in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing animation for, we've been running our film and animation company since 2006, so quite a while now.
That's a long time. And well, today we are talking about the theme, Hey, I'm Kidding. It was all about unpleasant jokes when I first recorded. And my first question to you is, what is the most embarrassing moment of your life so far?
As I said before, I don't have a singular one. They kind of happen all the time, just little micro ones. So I send emails to people with the wrong name and then go, oh no. Emails or those kind of stupid things. But the thing that comes to mind was when I was doing some shift work and I did really early shifts, and I'm not a morning person. I absolutely hate mornings. And I kind of got to work. I was working I think I had to leave the house at 5 a.m. And I'd been in work for a while. And then I looked down at my shoes and found out I had odd shoes on. And they were both black shoes, but they were odd. And then I was self-conscious about my shoes all day long because I was everyone's going to think, why has he got shoes?
Okay. I remember from this story. And yes, it happens when we are not morning people. I have many stories with early confusions too. I told you I've already left my house with the wrong shoes too, but not one one different shoe in one foot. No, just the wrong pair. It's not the case. Jokes can have a powerful impact on audiences. This is the other question. How do you consider the potential effect of humor on your audience? Because you are from animations, and your idea I saw on the website is really crazy. So, and what steps do you take to ensure a positive experience?
So humor is, I think it's a great release. I think everyone loves to laugh, and it also reveals deeper truths, because I think sometimes it's that contradiction that forces us to kind of look at reality or question things. And it's a way for people to question power without it being direct. So that's kind of fun. And yeah, the project that I'm pushing is totally absurd, because it's a jazz playing cow that is resisting the system. And so there's nothing more stupid than that. But then hopefully that brings joy to people and people have a good laugh, and We
Oh,
need
for
that,
sure.
right?
It's better to laugh than to cry.
Yes. And what was the, I've forgotten the second half of the question.
Oh, how it brings a positive experience to the audience.
Yeah. So I think that people, what people do want to, you know, at the end of the day, they've worked hard. They want to put their feet up, enjoy laughing at something, and not, I don't know, people don't want to be preached to. They don't want to have something too heavy a lot of the time, and it's just nice to enjoy that. And I think where we're fitting in, wanting to fit into kind of like the adult sitcom, animated sitcom kind of market, a lot of that has become quite nihilistic and cynical, and we're much more, I guess, in the mold of The Simpsons or whatever, where it's a lot more positive. It's so that's, yeah, where we're trying to position ourselves.
I can't forget to say that I'm a huge fan of The Simpsons. I watch since I was a child, and I still watch the same episodes. But it's really funny, and they really show absurd situations.
It's brilliant, and it's really sharp, so it's clever, but it's not, yeah, it's, you're laughing all the way through, but they do some little clever things, but yeah, it's genius, particularly the first three or four seasons, just
I
yeah.
think the first seasons are the best too. And one more question here. Are there examples from pop culture, besides that, where you felt unpleasant jokes were handled effectively or conversely in a way that missed the mark?
So the stuff that missed the mark in terms of, I mean, there's things I don't like, but whether that says it misses the mark is a little bit different, because like I kind of find someone like, you know, Sacha Baron Cohen, I find him just really crude and just not very clever. But just whether you say it misses the mark, I mean, the guy's made a fortune about by being kind of unpleasant. So there are people that love it. He's the first person that comes to mind because I just think he's like the kind of, but yeah, I'm a bit too reluctant, I think, to kind of attack anyone too much, really.
No, sometimes I think he misses the mark for you. I watched some the his movies, and one of them I was really embarrassed to watch some scenes. So. And about intent versus impact. Intentions behind the jokes may not always align with their impact. How do you weigh the importance of your comedic intent versus the potential impact on on viewers, not listeners?
Yeah, that's tricky. There's a principle that I go by, which Chuck Jones kind of said was something like, you should have love for the thing you're satirizing, or I can't remember how he put it. I should look it up because it's a really good quote. But he basically is saying, you shouldn't just be on the attack, there should be seeing the positive. So even like the bad guy in what we're doing, he's the bad guy. But actually, a lot of what he's proposing is kind of good, or at least coming from a good place. So I think, and but you can't be held responsible for how people understand things if it's not meant that way. And we're in a environment where people do get offended much more easily than maybe a few years ago. And yeah, as long as you're, I mean, there are stuff that was created in the past, and you kind of look at it and you go, wow, I cannot believe they made that. That actually is kind of crossing lines that don't think is right, but I'm sure there'll be loads of people that don't get the joke or are offended, and I'm not, yeah, that is what happens.
I agree with you. These younger generations are a bit more sensitive to some kinds of jokes than the other ones. I noticed this well, because I volunteer with children, and I meet many younger people, and I noticed this small detail. Some kinds of jokes are not well seen among them.
Although children have no limits.
Oh, yeah.
They cross the line more easily than adults.
Okay, but some teenagers, young adults, it's...
Yeah.
Well, now going to another field. What inspires you to do what you do, or keep doing what you're doing?
I think... I feel like storytelling is kind of the way I've been. I love storytelling, so that's kind of almost hardwired in. So I love to do that, and I keep doing that. This thing about animation is you can have a drawing, and it has a little bit of life, but the idea of fully bringing it to life and seeing things come alive, that's never gets boring. It's kind of fun that you just see you see this thing that you've drawn now moving and breathing and thinking, and that would probably be the thing that comes to mind.
I completely agree, and it comes to my heart too, because I never feel bored. Sometimes I feel tired, stressed, but never bored with what I do. It's really great to draw, to create some situations, or even to bring some words to the paper and tell a story with pictures, to me is the best part.
And it's kind of you feel like you're made to do it, right? You just you can't not do it.
And well, this is a deep question I do to every people who comes here. Who are the most influential people or person in your life?
I don't think there's a singular one. I think there are all sorts of different people in different areas. So within animation, there'd be a set of people. Within art more broadly, within music. But it's probably my parents. So I'm lucky that I've got good parents, and so I'd guess it would be them. Is that cheating? Because that's two people rather than one.
Okay. The answer is always the same, because family is everything. I also draw. I'm the third generation of creatives in my family. My grandfather, he used to draw, but not artistic drawing, just technical drawing. I have an uncle who draws too, so I'm in the third generation.
That's brilliant.
Now about the time capsule. I like this question because the answers are the best. Well, if you could bury a time capsule, it to be opened 100 years from now, what would you put in it?
So the problem with our current time is that we don't really do physical things. Everything is digital. This conversation's happening digitally. Books are digital. So we've ended up in this world where we don't have stuff to put in, which is a problem. But I'd probably put in some books. Actually, record. I mean, it's difficult because recording what you play it back on, but I was thinking that people's accents change over time, and that's kind of interesting. It's where did, yeah, how did the accents, what does someone sound like 100 years ago is something that is a fascinating thing. And music recordings would be good, but again, it's all very digital today. So artwork, physical artwork, I guess.
Oh,
I
it
don't
would
know.
be great to put some artwork. I mean, to put some landscapes. Oh, to people would see how world looked like 100 years ago. Yeah, it's a great idea. And what advice would you give to your younger self? If you have one.
No. I'd advise, so during my life I've been pretty good at making contacts. I'm not so good at staying in touch with people, and I would probably advise to continue keep those contacts and probably build up a mailing list. So I mean, I'd like that at the moment. If I'd accumulated that in the past, that would have been good. I probably would have given myself a stack of books to read, because there are things that I missed out in my studying that I and books that I could have learnt from but didn't know they existed. So some of the books on storytelling that I just didn't know were around.
Okay, well, continue on this theme. I would just for curiosity about me, I would say to my younger self, nothing you are planning will come true, and that's okay.
Yes. You're absolutely right.
And if your life was a movie, what would its title be? And who would play you in the film adaptation? Oh, it can be an animation too. It will be fun.
So what would be the style? Maybe like in Plasticine, like Wallace and Gromit or Chicken Run, that kind of thing. Who would play me? I don't know. I've got no idea. My mind's gone blank.
Okay,
You ask these questions that stretch me and make me kind
well, in my case, I have no idea on who would blame to and because I sometimes I started last year write some small comics about my past experience, my worst experiences in life. And I'm always the narrator, so I have no idea of who would play me.
That's tricky.
Well, now I'll ask a really crazy question. Imagine a world where plants could express themselves verbally. What do you think they would say?
Plants. Well, they actually do communicate. So there's a book I bought my dad for Christmas and about how trees communicate with one another. And I was interested in that because I'd seen a video on YouTube about how plants communicate. So they do actually communicate. But I think that they're just kind of saying, I don't know what they're, I think it's more like knowing where the limits of things are so they don't grow in the wrong place and that kind of stuff. But if they were a, if they were conscious, which I assume they're not, they'd probably be like the Ents in Lord of the Rings. That they would feel old and they would have seen things before. I mean, you've got very old trees in your country, older than the trees that we've got here, so they would have seen an awful lot.
Oh, for sure. I'm not a good person to tell about plants because I don't have a green finger. And I think they would make a revenge against me. Oh, why did you kill me? Oh, I wouldn't like to see plants speaking. And what?
Have you seen Invisible City? Oh, I think in Portuguese it's called Citadel. It's about people chopping down the rainforest and then these kind of entities that are kind of protectors of the rainforest kind of fighting back. It's on Netflix. It's a Portuguese, it's a Brazilian series. It's quite good. But they kind of act on behalf
Oh,
of the
that's great.
rainforest.
Well, there are many good Brazilian productions nowadays. I like them.
Yeah, I recommend it's called Invisible City in English, but something Citadel, but I don't know then.
Well, and again on the same field. If you could communicate with one species of animal, oh, this one I know, who would, which one would it be, and what would you talk about?
Maybe an octopus. And their world is so different. So they live in the sea, which is very different to living on the land. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's not going to be enough in common to have a conversation. I don't know.
It would be hard to answer with many words what around. But yeah, in my case, I'm really curious to see, to know what dogs feel, because I had a dog. She passed away 2 years ago, but she was really funny sometimes because she was sweet and she was really she wanted belly rubs and. In a certain moment, she started and started biting us. So I would love to know what dogs think about us.
Yeah, somebody once said that dogs say, "Oh, humans must be God because they give me food, they do this, they do everything for me." And then they said that cats say, "I must be God, because humans do this and this and this for me."
Oh, that's perfect. I think, I think dogs think we are gods. Especially when we travel or we go. Oh, sometimes we go to a really nearby place, and when we return, they do a party. Well, now About the power of visuals, I think we both know the power of visuals. Well, how do you incorporate the visual elements in your life if you do this incorporation? Well, because in marketing and films, they are really powerful. And how do you think they are powerful in your personal lives? If you have an example.
How is it important in personal life? I guess as you walk around town, you see things, you see lots of different people, you see what people are building, people painting their houses, different cars, different like you're just the environment around, always responding to what it looks like or what's going on. So it's the world around, I guess.
Well, to me, visuals have a really strong power. I remember when I love learning languages. I myself learned six languages,
Wow.
and I remember to remember a new word, I always draw the definition. And it helps me to remember the situation. It's really powerful, visuals. And also when I want to write in a post-it, my post-its are half message and half drawing. I really enjoy the power of visuals. I think to me, they work.
Yeah, I can't write notes because I end up just doodling. Yeah, same problem with.
Oh, people will not understand. Well, why there are many stars and hearts here, but I understand. Well, let me see about another theme. Okay. If you this has nothing to do with animation, but if you could be part of an innovation project or scientific endeavor, what kind of project would you be interested in and why?
So I'm very interested in what people are doing with LiDAR. So it's the laser things where they from helicopters and drones, I think as well, they kind of zoom down these lasers and they can find hidden cities s because you can't find them in the undergrowth or kind of in lots of places. So I'd love to see more research done into finding more hidden cities, because that seemed
Oh,
really
hidden
exciting.
cities. It must be interesting, I confess. Well, I don't know if if I told you, but I have a dream to live in another planet, and I'd love to see if there is life outside the Earth. But yeah, the Earth has many hidden places. We don't know all the Earth.
No, we don't. They say we know more about the moon than we do the bottom of the sea. And the sea is here.
Well, I know you love films and television. Oh, it's hard to find someone who doesn't love movies. But how does your love for films and televisions influence your approach to storytelling?
I think all good storytelling has to fit within, it does fit within structures. It's not a kind of, it's not random, because it's not a story if it's random. And I think the more stories that you see, the more that you are shaped by that. I think it's the same with literature as well. And so you subconsciously are learning more about the form. And I often will watch something and then reflect back and go, that really moved me. Why did that move me? What was the thing that was the catalyst for that? Yeah, that's probably the thing that comes to mind. Well, it is the thing that comes to mind. It's not probably the thing. It is the thing that came to
Oh, totally. Well, movies they have depending on the time. In my case, depending on the time they were filmed, they have total influence in my life. There was a time I used to watch only black and white movies. I really like from the silent ones to the classic Hollywood. I don't know their magic, but I really love to watch. And the storytelling sometimes is so good that I get some elements, even some past episodes. I got some elements from old movies. It's interesting.
They're brilliant. The reality is that the difference between a black and white film and a modern blockbuster with lots of effects is the only real difference is the effects. And if the storytelling is not good, but you've got loads of effects, you've got nothing. So it's about the quality of the storytelling. And some of them are masterful. And so you're absolutely gripped because it's really good storytelling. And you can't save a bad story with more visual effects.
I know. I watched many bad, terrible movies with lots of special effects, and I was. Sometimes I was off many times. Well, and now life often throws surprises our way. Can you recall a time when you were pleasantly surprised by an unintentional outcome?
Probably more positive today than I was. Sorry, yesterday I was on a. The trains had been cancelled. They were doing engineering works, and they had to run a bus instead. And I was really annoyed by that because it meant I got home 2 hours later than I planned to get home. And it was really bad because as I was sitting on the bus, I was like, this bus is going the wrong way. And the more I was on the bus, I was like, no, this bus really is going the wrong way. And I was starting to kind of go, I was sitting on the top deck, kind of go, this isn't right, this isn't right. And then other people then started to go, this isn't right. And then I saw the bus driver stopped and he asked another bus driver directions. And then we went, and then we got lost again. And then it's like, eventually, everyone on the top deck is saying, telling me to go down and give him directions because I seem to know where I am more than the others, which well, I'm not great with directions. But so I started directing him, and it's mostly a lot better. Although it's a double decker bus and they had a bridge, and it's like you can't go the route you would in the car. So I had to do one wrong turning along the way, but we got there, and the whole thing was really, really annoying. But then when I came home and was telling my wife about it, the story was so funny. It was like, it was good to have gone through such an annoying night that made me really tired today, because we ended up with this really funny story and laughing about the ridiculousness of the situation. So that's one from yesterday.
Oh, that's great. If I could say an unintentional outcome from I would say last week too. I was I don't like to tell it, but I was rejected by a person, and I'm talking to another guy, and he seems to be a very, very nice person, and I'm feeling happy. So this is it was a pleasant surprise for real in the beginning of this year. I'm really happy.
Good. I hope that works out.
So let me see another one. Okay. Back to the fictional world. If you could swap lives with any fictional character for a week, who would it be?
Any fictional character? Maybe with Wallace from the Wallace and Gromit movies. Because he has quite a simple life and he has all his fun gadgets. It kind of looks like quite a fun life to live. Or maybe the Mr. Incredible from The Incredibles.
Okay. this is nice, Mr. Incredible. I'd love to have the power of go to many places at teletransportation. I would love to have this power. So
that'd be so useful. We could do this in person then.
And can you walk us through your creative process when developing new works?
So the first thing I would say is there is no straight line. Nothing goes in a straight line. So ideas kind of miraculously appear. You're working really hard to come up with ideas that don't come, and then they come when you least expect it. Usually when you're thinking about something else or doing something boring, or so that's the first thing. And then from ideas, and I mean, when I say it comes out of nothing, when it's for clients, you're usually reading their stuff and working out what their company does and all of that. So that's obviously kind of input. But then from the stage where you've got ideas, and the refining of it takes ages, because you get from kind of zero to the kind of main thing quite quickly, and then the refining it and getting it to actually work takes ages. Lots of scribbling and doodling and playing around until it works. And then as you're doing that, you're living life and reading things and thinking about things and watching things, and that's always feeding in. And I'm actually in the ideas stage, so much of it actually just comes from laughing. And I find that when I'm having good laugh with friends and then that's often where things come as well, because it's a prompt of, I don't know, there's a kind of magic that happens when you've got a group of people, and the kind of energy that that becomes more fertile. And then there's kind of the, it's the kind of almost grunt work of just, I've got to push through. And as you're halfway through, you're like, ah, I'd like to do a new project now, but you've got to keep pushing through to the end. And then you get through the last stage and you're refining it and finishing it. And then that feels good. And you can then start working on the thing that's started in your head midway through. That's the thing you then want to work on.
Oh, this is great. I'm hearing you and thinking of my own creative process. And it's almost the same thing. It starts as a confusing brainstorm. No one knows what is in the brainstorm. I remember I was doing a graphic design project, and then I went to about a movie poster, and then I went to many places, and a lady looked at my paper, she said, "Oh, this is, you went to many places, but I want an idea." And I said, "Okay, just wait a few more days and you got to have your idea." And like in some movies, when you want to make up a story and start looking around, I start looking around where I am and I get some ideas. It's a confusing creative process, but I swear it goes somewhere.
You're absolutely right, because it's, you get prompted by the weirdest unconnected things, and that becomes a spark, and it usually happens at the last possible moment.
Okay, and this one I remember I asked you once, but just to complete, life would be boring without...
without people. So the joy of being able to spend time with lots of different types of people, doing different jobs from different countries, from different opinions on stuff, people that I really disagree with, people I don't disagree with so much, just that mix, it's infinite. There's infinite kind of possibilities and variety that makes that fun. And so, yeah, people.
Now I'm thinking on on something I heard once about houses. When there is life in a house and when there is not, if the house is too organized, it's too clean, no one lives there. the mess, it tells a story for to us. So it's like if you go to a world dimension, it's the same thing. Without people, we don't know stories. Nothing happens. It's like an empty house. Everything's clean, right? But what else?
Dead. Yeah, we need the life, the energy.
About the future endeavors, because I know our conversation is great, but it must come to an end. Can you provide a glimpse into any upcoming projects or areas you are excited to explore in the near future?
Yes. So on May 1st, I'm launching a Kickstarter called Jazz Cow, which is about a jazz playing cow who's leading a resistance movement. So it has musicians and artists and writers and all these kind of guys, and they are resisting the world of algorithms and fake filters and all of that kind of machine, that kind of system. And they're chaotic, and they kind of can't get their act together without Jazz Cow, who kind of holds them. And so that's the thing. It's be a 20 minute sitcom pilot that we're raising money for, and if that's successful, hopefully we could do a series one day. So if you went to jazzcow.co.uk, you can sign up to the mailing list and then get messages as it develops. And yeah, on May the 1st, it'll be on Kickstarter. So if you know someone that likes it,
Okay,
share
let's
it.
and where can your our listeners can find you besides the website, social media?
So you can search for my name, and I'm on most of them. And so it's John Lumgair. It's Lumgair. And my company's Quirky Motion, Quirky Motion. And it's quirkymotion.com. And then that's on most of the social media things as well. So if you search for my name or Quirky Motion, you should find me.
Thanks a lot in the name of my listeners. And do you have a final
Thank
message?
you. I don't think I do. Thank you so much for the opportunity. It's lovely to talk with you. It's good fun. And you asked the hardest questions, so I'm like,
Here, our motto is inspire and engage. So I think both words were the tone of our episode one more time, and it's great.
Well, thank
So,
you.
like I asked to all my invitees, you came twice, so.